listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber.
And tonight, we are continuing in our rewatch.
That's right.
Of the television show Sex and the City. That's mm-hmm. right. We are here. And we're ready to go. I almost forgot the intro, which is why before we started rolling this, we sat there in silence for a second. But then I remembered it.
Hey, big milestone.
What?
We hit our 440th iTunes review.
Whoa. Ooh, how many of those were you at the app? Do we have the numbers of how many of those were you at the Apple store when we first started?
I want to break into other podcast numbers and know, because I feel like we're under reviewed. I have to be honest, based on how many people listen to our podcast.
Let's look. Hold on. Let's think of a podcast. You don't have to name it. Hey, by the way, if you're listening, we really appreciate you listening right now. Go to the iTunes store, leave us a 5-star or a 5-Cosmo review, and then send us your address and we'll send you a check for $500.
Mm-hmm.
But leave us a 5-star review first.
Like, we have as many listeners as My Favorite Murder, and they have 140,000 ratings.
It's crazy. Weird?
Wait, what? We have as many listeners as My Favorite Murder?
Yeah.
We are a larger podcast than My Favorite Murder. Well, it's crazy
because one of us is the co-host for My Favorite Murder.
That's right.
So, but name one that you think we're on par with. Put it in the chat, one of you, and I'll look up and see how many ratings.
This
they
is
have.
A new recording software, so I have no idea how to even write in chat.
I also don't. I have no idea. Chat? I don't listen to, like.
I think this is why we have less ratings.
I don't listen to. I listen to The Business on Saturdays, which is just like a Hollywood business podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
hi there.
Hi there. Occasionally listen to Larry Wilmore Black on the Air, which is great. I occasionally listen to Left Right. Let's see how many Left Right Center has. I also, if anyone listens to Left Right Center, it's a political podcast with someone from the left, right, and the center. And Josh Barrow is their host. And he's talked a few times about how he loves Sex and the City. And so I asked him to be on the podcast via Instagram, and he never responded. And it would be an insanely weird thing for him to do because he's like a legit political commentator and he'd come on here and be an idiot. But that's like the main political podcast I've listened to for the most years. And one of their main contributors to the center is Kelly Goff, who is now one of the writers for And Just Like That.
So it wouldn't be that weird.
Yeah. But I don't think, I mean, it's an NPR podcast, so I don't think that we're on par with them. But they only have 3,400.
You don't think we're on par with an NPR politics podcast?
No, we're not publicly funded. Although I did write off the microphones we bought this year on my taxes. So,
well, it's
in
it's
that
funny
way we
you,
are publicly
funny,
funded.
It's funny you wrote them off because I think I paid for them.
Yeah, I don't know. Or no, our hosting fee. Whatever you used to Venmo me for.
Yeah, the hosting fee. Yeah. Which I think cost you like $40 for the year.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a chip. A bunch of little rocks can turn into a mountain. Isn't that like a
proverb? That was a Sun Tzu quote.
Yeah. It's a Sun Tzu quote about how I cheat on my taxes every year.
It is. And it also starts out with him saying, hey.
Hey. Bunch of. It's not a bunch of. It's bunch of. B-U-N-C-H-A. Bunch of little rocks turn into a mountain.
Isn't the art of war? It's just like, hey, man, I have a sword, but it's my brain.
It's not art of war. It's art of war. A-R-T-A. War. Art of war.
Art of war.
If you use your brain, that's almost as powerful as violent things. If you think about it.
Do you feel like... Do
is
you
that
feel
George
like,
W. Bush doing Sun Tzu?
Yeah. Do you feel like Mr. Big has a copy of The Art of War on his bookshelf somewhere that is like signed by his friend Max, but he just never read it?
Wait,
dude, I think I think that, Mr. Big's office is definitely samurai themed for sure.
I think it's got to be samurai themed. The walls
definitely has like a couple samurai swords on the walls. He was so pumped when Kill Bill 1 came out, the night showing.
I think he was really pumped when it came out because I think everyone wanted him to watch Memoirs of a Geisha and he'd be like, yeah, great film. And then Kill Bill came out and he was like, this is awesome. He finally could
How many times do you think Mr. Big has said the exact same thing when he's been like, so when you look at it, they fold it and then they just pound it down and then they fold the sword again and they pound it down and just like... He just says the same exact thing about how they make samurai swords to like anyone who comes over, and Carrie's just like, ugh.
Oh my gosh. Enough. Wait, I have a question. Samurai swords.
Because the question, the answer as written is good. Yes, he's a good businessman. But do you guys think that he's a realistic character of a huge good businessman? I feel like he seems like too funny and too happy-go-lucky. Like he's never like, oh, fuck. Which I feel like those people at that level, there's always something pulling them away. And he doesn't even overwork.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he's not very, very stressed about work much. I mean, like, I don't know. What is it in The Big Short? The main dude who, why do I always forget things? I think this just shows that I'm losing my mind and getting old. Christian Bale's character. I guess he's like more of a savant though, but he doesn't seem crazy overworked. He has that like, he just goes and plays drums to Metallica and is like, the economy's going to crash one day. Go ahead.
The most realistic business character, speaking of Wolf of Wall Street, which is I just recently watched, it was Matthew McConaughey's character from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like completely lost it.
Yeah.
Just like sex craze maniac. I don't know. I feel like they nailed it with that character.
That'd be hilarious if Mr. Big gave the same advice to like up. There's a scene where he's just like, so like before you make any deals, just make sure you don't masturbate. Hold on 1 second. Hi, Carrie. What's up? Doesn't McConaughey say that? Like not to masturbate before they make big trades?
I think he says the opposite. I think he says to masturbate like frequently, right?
I don't remember. I haven't seen it for years. I'm a Christian. I don't watch.
Well, speaking of you being a Christian, I watched it on Christmas Day.
I don't watch bad shows or movies.
I watched it with my family on Christmas Day, the day it came out. So
it's so good.
It's burned into my mind. I feel like he did say that. I feel like he did say not to do it. I'm not sure.
We'll have to, someone. After we're giving our listeners a lot of instructions, after you rate the podcast, preferably 5 stars, let us know if McConaughey's character masturbates or says not to masturbate before a big deal.
Here, this is what I'll do to incentivize people to go.
We already incentivized $500. That seems like a good payment structure for
GHFYAH. There are no words for how great the boys are. Literally the best podcast. That's pretty cool.
Really? Speaking of all those other ones, this one's the best.
And then one said, Rachel Beardsley said, ready for CarrieCon. Pretty dope.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
All right. And she also said that she thought that CarrieCon was real.
Mm.
She said, in particular, this is good. There are so many times I've laughed out loud. The funniest moment might have been when you guys launched the Steve Talk theme song, which is pretty awesome because John wanted to do Steve Talk before we even started the podcast. That's right.
I'd heard whisperings. I heard murmurs of Steve and thought Steve Talk would make a good little side bit. And I'm glad we did it. Like now that I know Steve, it's like it seems worth it.
Yeah, I think you did a very good job in creating Steve Talk. And I think the fans are fans. The fans are fans of Steve Talk. They really are.
Well, it wouldn't have been anything without your delicious impression of him, which is just fantastic.
I need to be very honest right now. I've said this in the past, mostly to myself, but I've said it, that I hate it. I hate it when people use the word delicious to describe anything but besides food. But I mean this in all truth. When you said it right there, it didn't bother me. It really didn't. But usually I've heard people be like, wow, that is a delicious piece of information. And it just sounds so gross and like over sexualized when people talk about, when people say things like that, like, ooh, what a delicious trip you're going on. But when you said it, I didn't feel that way at all. I felt like you did it the correct way.
This is straight honesty. I don't think I've ever used it outside of describing food in my entire life. I think that was my first time. And your feedback's been received. Maybe it's just the way I deliver it. It was delicious. And so I might add it into my repertoire. Do you guys ever like learn a new word and then you're just like, you find yourself using it like three times a day when you're talking to different people? And you're like, if these people ever talk to each other about how much I use the word abeyance right now, like I'm going to seem like just the biggest idiot in the world. Do you guys ever do that?
Yeah.
When I found out what the word insolent meant, I used it a few times.
I
which now I forget what it means. I think it means like stupid.
Insolent. Yeah. I think it means.
Did you say insulin? I think that's what diabetics use to help with
insulin.
Their blood sugar.
It insulin. Insolent means showing a rude and arrogant lack of respect, or what diabetics use.
Yeah.
To keep their blood sugar down.
Yeah.
Insolent. Which honestly is rude and disrespectful and arrogant that diabetics, it's rude of their pancreas to it's insolent of their pancreas to be so arrogant that they won't produce.
That is some spelling bee level shit right there.
That really is. Yeah. I remember when I found out what the phrase all intents and purposes was, and I always thought it was all intensive purposes, like intensive care. And I remember once I said that, every time I would say it, it rang in my head. The spelling of it rang in my head. And I was like, I know what this is now. I feel great about myself.
There's another one that I think I still stay wrong, but I like, you learn what it actually is saying.
I realized that you can kind of just apply the four girls thing to like literally anything. So let's do it now. What would be the wrong, who'd be the most likely to have used the wrong word for 30 years of their life and then discovered they've been using the wrong thing? Out of all the Sex and City characters, who's out there confidently?
The four main women or any character?
I guess we can open it up.
Because my go-to is like, Miranda is not going to spell anything wrong. She's a lawyer, and I think like writing legal briefs, you have to be pretty on spot. Mm-hmm. I don't think Carrie...
Like, she's a writer, yeah.
She's a writer, so I don't think she's going to misspell anything. I think like... I don't know. I think in PR, you usually have to be pretty on with your grammar too. I could just totally see Charlotte botching a phrase or a word. The intensive purposes thing is like what comes up to my mind would be perfect for her character.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Charlotte. She's.
You know what that's called when they do it for comedy? It's called malaprop.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it's from like a play from like the 1500s where Ms. Malaprop would always say the wrong things. You know, they like when you like, I don't know, you say the wrong word and then everyone laughs. And now it's still that years that's later.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's from a delicious piece of information.
It's from a Molière play, isn't it?
Molière play? Yeah, I think so.
I think you might have told me that one time.
Well, it's funny because it's still a good joke. If there's a dumb character, like if there's like Hot Sauce Guy is like dating Carrie and he's just like tries to act smart and then just uses the totally wrong word to look smart, like that would still work as a joke. And it's like,
is there a classic example of that in a movie that I would like recognize?
Ah, man, I would have to look. I mean, let me look up like famous malapropisms. You know who's like the king of the malaprop?
Who?
Fucking George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Three Shakespeare's?
Three Shakespeare's.
In
Bush.
Three Shakespeare's, he does that when he's like, also wrote Three Shakespeare's. He says, I have an eclectic reading list. Eclectic. Yeah. 16 famous malapropisms.
Man.
I'll find some and let you know.
Cool. Well, tonight we're watching season 1, episode 7. What's the episode title?
It's The Monogamist. The Monogamist.
Ooh, The Monogamist.
You know, we're talking about old plays. The Monogamist sounds like it would be some farce play You know, that it's like, and now we present to you the monogamists. And it's like two people that are trying to find monogamy, but they keep messing up and sleeping with other people. Like, oh, God, I forgot again. I had sex with her. But okay, well, whatever. Let's see. Let's move on.
Oh, my goodness. Making love to three different women.
Oh, what a delicious predicament.
All right, let's do it. Let's watch some episodes.
Ooh, why don't we?
don't mind if I do you.
Episode 7, The Monogamists. Carrie and Mr. Big begin dating on a regular basis, but she begins to question their commitment after bumping into him on a date with another woman. Samantha looks for an apartment to purchase, while Charlotte dates a man who prefers oral sex. Later, Miranda becomes jealous after seeing Skipper with another woman. And now, back to the boys.
Well, I think that you should be with one person only. That's my take.
You have said that. You have gone on record and said that.
Yeah, but that's just because I have a strict moral worldview, and also because I get stressed out by conflict. So the idea, I'd want to have sex with five different people at the same time, but it's just I'm not good at scheduling, and I would just be nervous about what everyone else was thinking at the time.
I think so. We said, I would not. Yeah.
So morally, so I use my lack of organizational skills and emotional conflict, and I siphon that into a strict moral worldview of what is right and wrong.
That's so funny.
I think we did say in an earlier Patreon podcast, though, that like open relationships. Well, this isn't talking necessarily about open relationships, but I think we were saying that they involve a lot more Google calendars to just get everyone on the same page. Cause I mean, just trying to plan in our working world, I would say more in the time of Zoom, just trying to plan something with one person. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to plan like a vacation or a trip or something like that, there's a lot of scheduling going on.
Oh, man,
so if you're trying to do it with multiple people, anyone that's been on a dating app knows when you're trying to keep up with, multiple convos and deciding schedules to go out with people for first and second dates, it's not easy. A lot of cognitive work.
One thing I think that is interesting about most every discussion regarding sexuality currently, like the past like 10 years, is that everything is always framed as like progressive towards, and it's probably because of like LGBT stuff that there's been like so much progress there, but a lot of other sexual conversations are always framed as like moving forward and open equals never happened before and better. But when you look through a history, like all different sexual practices and norms have been tried in all kinds of different cultures. And so I do think like monogamy is not like people being like, oh, it's like more important, like to have like open relationships. And that is right. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just, it's not like it's never been tried before in different cultures.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's sort of just a tendency towards like any discussion is like lifting of rules is like progress and therefore equals more freedom equals better. But I think in reality, it just creates like different risks and different, different risks emotionally and physically and different things like that. But I do think like the whole, even when I said like, I think it's dumb to have an open relationship, which I'm talking about me personally. I don't want that, just so the listeners know. But the response was like, you should listen to these people and what they talk about it. And those people are interesting. Dan Savage talks about that a lot, but it's not like it's a new concept. Like
right.
If anything, like half of the Old Testament is just like a king being like my 40 wives, you know, like
my so concubines. It's like,
yeah.
I actually think that the issue in this episode was not a monogamy issue. It was more of a like defining the relationship issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think like he wasn't cheating on her. It's just that she was in a different spot than he was with what their like where their relationship was at.
Right. And she said nothing really was ever said.
She said like I've gotten so caught up emotionally that I realized I was standing alone, standing like by myself. And I thought that that was like a really good way of kind of
they're going to I just realized this. We're going to do a bingo for just like that. And I guarantee you they one of them tries an open relationship, maybe carrying big.
We should. That's a great idea. We should come up with like a really solid bingo, a bingo card.
We do. Totally we should
get to our listeners. That'd be really
fun. I think not only would it be very relevant for like, hey, we spice up the marriage and like we like that is a common thing that is it's relevant. And it also would be something great for them to tackle that. I think a lot of people are trying now to varying degrees of success or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a prediction.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. So I guess the first thing I want to touch on and we have all experienced it. We have all talked about this outside of the podcast. Kevin and I went on an epic walk a few weeks back and we specifically talked about a couple that's doing this, and that is Couples Island. This idea of like when you first get in a relationship and you just go like lean hard into that relationship. I'm sure we've all been in relationships like that. We all know people in relationships like that. And Carrie said it was like breaking the first cardinal rule is what I call Couples Island. I think she called it something else. But like, what are your thoughts about Couples Island? Like when a new relationship, abandoning all your friends and just devoting all your time to the new relationship.
I feel the same way about Couples Island that I do about any island, whether it's the island of Dr. Moreau, whether it's danger, it's dangerous. There are storms on that island. It's lonely. It seems tempting at first. It's like the island is dangerous.
You're a big friends guy. You are like a social people who like you are a friend guy. Like we had plans last night. Kevin and I got vaccinated. Shout out to vaccines. And we did like our first epic hang. We started hanging out at 7:45 all the way till 11:30. Katie and I went home and Kevin's like, yeah, I'm going to go check out this other bar with some other people. And it's like, you are constantly have so many friends all the time. You're very social. So for you, if that makes sense, that'd be very dangerous. But there probably are other people who probably find a lot of comfort in the island.
That's
true. Shady. It's nice. There's a cool breeze.
There's a coconut tree that you can climb up.
There's a coconut tree. There's beach. There's a wild boar that you can hunt and eat. There's bamboo. You can make clothes. There's a lagoon.
You can have sex on the beach.
You can have sex on the beach. You can go into the lagoon. You can explore underwater caverns and aquifer systems. You can climb to the top of the volcano. You can paraglide off of it. You can place a rock on top of the volcano that symbolizes you as the leader of the island, and your son or daughter can place one higher. There's all sorts of fun things.
This is Girlfriend Island. These are activities you can do on Girlfriend Island. What are you confused about, Corey?
I thought you were when you said climb to the top and the rock.
I was referencing Moana. Great movie.
Yeah. I was thinking that there was a Lord of the Flies reference about Piggy falling off the rock and dying at that one point, and the rock drops on Piggy and he dies.
That's Kevin's interpretation.
Yeah, Kevin's interpretation of Girlfriend Island is a bunch of boys on an island together that run wild, and then they form a hierarchy, and then they murder the fat one until the military shows up at the end and says, whoa, 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 what's going on here? And they were like, it's just been two dates. Come on.
Have you guys read the short story, The Most Dangerous Game? A guy, his little boat crashes and then he gets there and then a guy's like, we play a dangerous game here.
I think they made a movie about that, right?
Well, they're surviving the game with Ice-T. Is that based off of Most Dangerous Game?
Yeah, basically he hunts people for sport.
Yeah.
Mr. Big participates in that shit.
Dude, Mr. Big has, Mr. Big has like told Carrie he's going on a hunting trip to like South Africa, and then he just went and hunted poor people.
He's like, I have a hunting thing.
Yeah, a hunting thing. She's like, exactly.
You're hunting poor people for sport. He said, I said it was a thing.
Have I hunted poor people for sport? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Well, who are we hunting? Let's go find Max. And he just shoots Max in the face.
I mean, I think that that's... here's my problem with Girlfriend Island is that... or Boyfriend Island. Girlfriend Island, for me, usually represents a loss of someone's identity that can be extreme and not necessarily fully recoverable. Like, I think sometimes, like, now listen, sometimes people change their life for the better and then they're like, they find this partner and like, they're like, that's sweet. I don't necessarily think that that is what we're talking about. It's like the thing where all of a sudden that person just like changes. And at a certain point you think they're probably going to change back. That's different than like the first 3 or 4 months of a relationship being very blissful and you're like falling in love and you're just like, oh, rather than hang out with my dudes and get drunk, like I want to hang out with Cheryl.
Yeah.
Who's my current wife. Just kidding.
I think like my issues with girlfriend or couples island, girlfriend island, is number one, it sets up like an unrealistic like situation to be sustainable. Like you can't live your life where you're just with one person at all times. Like you need to eventually go to work or to like go help a friend move. And when you leave that relationship or you go to like do those things, then you face, like Carrie said, the tribunal. Like you, like people are like, where have you been? And it's just like, for me, it seems like not a sustainable thing to try to maintain. The second is this idea of putting someone on a pedestal. I think when you do that, you build someone up, whether it's by spending a ton of time on them or only seeing that person, and then the truth is revealed, and you're usually set up for like disappointment or shortcomings. So. I don't know. Corey, what are your thoughts?
I totally get what you're saying, because I think one thing that a concept that I've found interesting in the past couple years, I guess, when this has come up, is people have talked about this idea of one person being your like ride or die partner. That's everything for you. And then other people being like, no, one person cannot be everything for you. And like part of the expectation that's put on relationships is that one person is supposed to fulfill all of your desires and fantasies, you know, or not even all your desires and fantasies, but like, you know, they're supposed to fulfill like they're supposed to be your best friend. And they're also supposed to be this romantic love partner. And they're supposed to be this like amazing erotic connection. And at some point it's like, oh, in past societies or whatever, people lived in this, they lived in like a township together. Their spouse or their partner or whatever fulfilled one thing. But, you know, like you have other people in your life for other things. And like, you know, a girl or a guy is not supposed to replace your bros or your gals or whatever. Like, and so I feel like, I think that it can be. I think that it seems like a natural thing. And like, I'm also a person who I love to spend intense time with. I love like great one-on-one time with people. Mm-hmm. Like I think I've spent like good one-on-one time with each one of you, John, you and I, one time, we went and got massages and then we saw that movie with The Rock in it. Remember that?
Dude, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
I don't remember what movie it was, but it was the it was the movie with Rock in it, so you can imagine what it was like.
It was like a buddy action comedy with The Rock in it that came out a couple years ago, and it was great.
Yeah.
And Kev, we've spent a million, and you know, like we ran a show together, like, and so like I feel, you know, like we've both had that. What?
The girlfriend that you were dating at the time that we went to France was pretty good. Was very like chill, because we asked we all were going together, but I was like, can I have a few days where just me and Corey go before, and then your girlfriend at the time flew out and met us? And I feel like that's a pretty chill thing to do. I was like, wait, I want the one-on-one time.
You were the one that asked her, not Corey asking?
I don't remember.
It was you, Kevin. Kevin asked, and yeah. I appreciated it, but like the way that it went down was that you had gotten this like amazing place to stay.
Yeah.
And you were like, what if we go? And then we were like, what if we all do Thanksgiving together? And you were like, what if you and I go? And then she comes and meets us. And it was like, I think it was our first like holidays together.
It was our first trip.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you proposed it. And then I asked her, and yeah, she was like, she was cool with it. I wonder, I think there might have been a like undercurrent with, I don't know what it was, not with her, but I think there might have been people later that were like, did you really ask her that?
And like, yeah,
but like, you know, it was fine.
But I think, I mean, that,
but
to
you're
me,
right, like that's, that was a cool girlfriend move, or a cool relationship person move, to be like, yeah, you want to have time with your friend, you guys want to go have some great time, he's got this great opportunity, like this mm-hmm. is a cool thing to do. I agree, that's a very like cool move.
Well, and I think it's like kind of on the level of what this is talking about, that like some people could rightfully just be like, no, you know, or like not cool with totally. That. But when people value friendships, which some people to certain degrees have close friendships, or that is like one of the main things they value. But when they do that, then I would say that's probably something you need to be on the same page with your partner or whatever, because
yeah.
Because do you think, I have a question,
if Big resented
that.
And hated those friends, then that's going to cause major conflicts. And that, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a huge thing in relationships.
Do you think Carrie ended up in the place that she was, like on a different wavelength with Big because of the friendship, like Couples Island that they went to? Like, do you think if she would have not gone to Couples Island, she maybe would have had a little bit more clarity as to where he was in the relationship?
Wait, ask that again. Do you think Big would have?
Do you think like her Couples Island, like the fact that they like she spent all this time with just him, shut out all her friends, like helped progress her emotions to the point where she was on a different wavelength than Big about the status of their relationship?
Like,
do you think if she would have slow rolled a little bit more, she wouldn't have been? I think, first of all, I am team Carrie this rewatch, and I think the way she found out Big was dating other women was very difficult. That's a very hard way just to be out in the restaurant and see him with another woman. I think she has all the right in the world to be blindsided, pissed, upset, and hurt. However, I think the root of the issue is that they had different definitions of what their relationship currently was. He thought it was still in the casual phase. She thought it was more in the serious phase. My question is, do you think if she would have slow rolled the Couples Island and maybe just like pumped the brakes a little bit on that, would she have been more in tune with where he was at?
No, but you're not asking, would she have been less blindsided by that?
No, I still think she swam
out to a little buoy. And just got off the island, went to a little buoy and hung out there a little bit before.
Or maybe she never went to the island. Maybe they were more on a couple's pontoon boat looking at islands, being like, hey, that one looks good. And it's like, it does. But, you know, like, let's just kind of go around here. Let's maybe go back in and get a drink, then go back out into the lagoon. We'll go to an island one day. And then she was kind of like, we're just on a little boat ride. Who knows where it'll end up?
Because I think here's what I think happened is she spent, like she said in the beginning in the monologue, her and Big were the only two people in New York. Like, they were blocking everyone else out.
Yep.
It was just their story. So,
factually untrue.
So she's doing that for a couple weeks. She's not seeing her friends. She's just with Big. She's ignoring their calls. She's not answering their, like, not answering their texts, whatever it would be the modern day. She then goes to see the tribunal, and they're like, where have you been? And she's like, I've been swept away by this magical thing with Big. Then she sees him and she's like, what the hell? I thought I just told my friends we were this thing. if she did it the other way and she was like with Miranda and then would occasionally see Big with the ladies, occasionally see Big, then she's out with the lady, she's out with the girls, and it's not this big conversation about where you've been. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, I'm kind of seeing this guy Big. They see him at the restaurant and she's just like, oh, hey, there he is with another woman. No big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or maybe not no big deal, but also like, oh, well, you know, that's where I don't really know where things are right now.
Yeah, we haven't defined the relationship.
We haven't defined the relationship. Yeah. I think that her slow roll in it at the beginning would have gotten, and this is no judgment at all, but like her slow roll in it would have had her, her feelings and her perception of what the reality was mm-hmm. in a different place. And it would have been easier to keep her boundaries better and to keep, to then have like a shocking thing like that not affect her as much. And like, yeah,
we took a poll on Instagram. Have you ever run into someone you're dating on a date with another woman? Have you ever, has that ever happened to either of you?
I was trying to think. I don't think so. I think I found out someone was dating someone else, but it was mm-hmm. like very early and it was like, okay, you know, but, and I didn't realize it.
Yeah. It doesn't look super common. We had 85% said no, but 15% did say yes.
Whoa. And those 15%, there's 80 people out there. They're probably not feeling great about that. I mean, even if you've been on one date and you're planning a second one, if you saw someone out, it's not right or wrong. You're just, you would be like, huh? You'd be like, what's that person look like?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, where are we at? Where did you go versus where were you planning on, you know, where is that the place they take all their dates? Is that, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because it's like, that's sort of just one of those things. It's like, you just don't want to know about that because one of those things. It's like you, if you're on a first, second, third, fourth, whatever date, you know, the person's texting other people and this mm-hmm. and that.
Right.
But you don't want to know the information.
Totally.
Or if you do, it can affect you in ways that you don't necessarily anticipate.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. You don't. I mean, it makes me wonder about when we talked about open relationships at the beginning, how much of that is a policy in an open relationship where it's just like, I don't need to know the details. Like this is my part of my life. That's their part of their life. And how much of that is shared or just not talked about at all. You know, maybe because there's an understanding there, it's a whole different deal, but I wonder about that when that's an understood thing. If that's just like, oh, okay, you got a thing tonight? Cool. You know, I wonder how much of that's actually known.
What if Charlotte married that guy and they had like four kids and he's like, all right, kids, daddy's got to go get his blowjob. He's just like, because I mean, see, was that essentially what
nice
he was?
Have a nice day at school, hon. Here's your sack lunch. All right, bye, mom. Daddy's good. Go get the blow job.
Sweetie, I'll see you later. It's just crazy at work. And I've got to do drinks with the new clients. And then after that, I'm going to get a blow job. But, well, because you don't want to. This was what we agreed on.
Just leave me a plate.
I want to know, do we talk about it on our Instagram? I don't want to like talk about it too much because I feel like the conversation could go pervy. I don't want to just like ask our listeners, just be like, hey, so you guys like sucking dick or not? But I do wonder what the conversation is. We don't have a poll on that. I was going to post one, but I was like, I didn't want to put up a poll and be like, so who here likes blowjobs?
Dude, can it just be, can the picture just be you standing in your bathroom with nothing but a towel on? Just like a little bit of wet hair, some moisture in your beard. You guys like sucking dick?
I was referring to season one, episode 7, The Monogamous, you perverts. But it was funny their chat and chew about that because mm-hmm. I do feel it's like I've never given a blowjob. It doesn't seem like something that I would get into even if I was a girl. But it's like I do enjoy girl oral sex, but also I just feel like there'd be more people in Charlotte's camp that are just like, yeah, why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
I don't know. We are definitely not the people to.
I wouldn't like doing it if someone was like. I think when we last time we did this episode, we had Selena Kopic on, and she was calling it like the blowjob elevator, where it's just like
yeah.
That is pretty gnarly. Like the forcing of the head down, like that is it was tough to watch. But
yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I think if you polled most people. My initial instinct would be like people would be more okay with it than not.
I think that there is something about that they talk about it in their chat and chew, and they talk about like if it's the right guy, if it's the right person. And I'm not like saying like, but hey, dudes, if it's the right guy. But no, I think that like there is something about the person attached to the penis. No, I think it's like there's a thing where like there's something about intimacy with the right person that you do enjoy, you know.
But that's the thing, is Charlotte's basically saying that like she doesn't like to do it
because she hasn't found the right person.
No, she's just saying like I don't like the act itself.
Right, but wait, but how does that relate to them saying if it's the right person they do like the act? Well, I guess that they were saying more like I'm fine with it, and if it's the right person it's even better.
Yeah, but then Charlotte's response was like, I think it's gross. Like, I don't like putting it in my mouth, and I don't like...
Yeah, well, Charlotte can't spell. We already established that, okay? She can't spell. She's stupid, all right?
it's one of the first... I think it's one of the first times that it was like that she's a complex character, and obviously they're doing a lot in this show, which is like... People have to, there has to be conflict, and they also just like, so you can't just go through and be like, this is a plot hole. But there's just like, there is a sort of writing with her character that she's the one that gets stuck with like these certain storylines. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't buy that, because they use her at certain times to say things that end up not going with her character. And I don't think that she would be grossed out by oral sex based on how they take the character in other ways that are to surprise you.
Although I mean, she was grossed out by Harry just sitting naked and on her furniture. So maybe she would be like, what leads you to believe that she was into oral sex?
Not into it, but just like,
or not grossed out by it.
She's like, on one hand, she's like, because it's like a pretty normal part of sex. Like you make out and then you like touch boobs, and then the girl puts it like it's like kind of
wait, keep going.
Go ahead. Wait, what else happens? Does this happen on Girlfriend Island?
Because I make out, step and then one, you put, touch boobs.
Then you put the pinky toe in your mouth, right?
Ooh, okay.
And then you open your mouth and you're like, spit on me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she grabs the back of your head. She gets out a spatula and she smacks you across her, says you're a dirty little whore.
What part of Girlfriend Island is this?
And then she takes her bra off if you say please. Okay. So this is just what we all know. This is the normal steps of sex. Right. No. I guess I just didn't totally buy. I didn't buy the chat and chew. That's the thing. I believe her character in the moment, especially because with Trey, like, she probably was more experimental because she was like, oh, she's like, I do that with Trey, the eating when she goes on his butt. Mm-hmm. But the way the chat she was like, I don't know, I think it's gross. It's like, I don't think that totally lines up with her sexual life. But the scenes did. Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think two things. One, I think it would be amazing if that was true about her, but she was just like, I love to eat Trey's butt though. Like if that was
like,
her.
Who's Trey? She's like, he hasn't been introduced yet. But trust me. Yet,
but get ready. He has a fantastic tasting butt. But also the way the chat and chew was written, and they do a few other ones like this, I think it's an early series thing where the chat and chews are very much written like they're written how someone thinks a TV conversation between four people is supposed to go, where one person is like, I don't know. And the other person's like, I do know. And the other person's like, and I know too. And here's the thing. It's like this. And then they all start laughing and then it fades out. So it feels like almost like a 1950s play. Like, hey, let me tell you something. This is how it's supposed to be. You give a blowjob and it's great. Mm-hmm. All right. More martinis, please. Like it really didn't really necessarily fit any of their characters fully. So I do agree that like she would maybe change later, but there's so much of those early chat and shoes that I feel like Samantha's not really fully represented because they don't really know who she is yet either. Like
that's
she's just
also
kinda,
are guys insulted if a girl doesn't swallow?
I think mores
have changed it. I'd be by that point, you're just happy to be there.
What's pretty funny is like there, I was going to say, I agree. I also think I was watching this and I was like, you know, this was like very, I'm guessing very controversial when it was on that, you know, this talk and that, but I was like, we had Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion doing WAP on the Grammys on CBS last night. Like we've come a long way since then.
Very, very long way.
You know, it's funny too. There's sometimes where it's like, I'll get an email and I'll look like while we're watching the episode or something, you know? And it's like, and I'll be like, John will bring something up and I'm like, oh, I think I may have missed that part of the episode when we were watching it. And then they were having this and I was like fully, and I was just like, okay, so what do girls think about oral sex? Like taking notes and just be like, okay, interesting. Yeah.
We've come a long way from Charlotte saying I don't like it to Cardi B saying I want you to hit that dangly thing in the back of my throat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dude.
Which is a great.
Okay, wait, Cardi B or Megan Thee Stallion?
Megan.
What's the question?
What is the question?
That's the question.
Oh, I think
whose
Megan.
Name?
Although,
like, whose name comes first in the alphabet? Like, Cardi B.
Whose name
starts with an M? Megan Thee Stallion. What's the, like, we have no idea what the question is.
All right,
is it just
sex.
A gut reaction? Wait,
what? Do you want to have sex with Megan Thee Stallion or Cardi B?
That just feels like such a base level question.
What?
I don't want to answer.
Why?
It's I don't
like
know. There's
it's not Charlotte Church. Their song's Wet Ass Pussy. Which wet ass pussy would you want to be in?
Who says park that Big Mac truck right in my little garage?
That's wah. Cardi B guy.
Okay, Mary Kill, but only just fuck or marry. I think you get married to Cardi B. She's the funniest person ever.
I do agree that. Although I do think Megan Thee Stallion is like very funny and very smart. It's just Cardi B is like ridiculously funny.
All right, here's another just like that bingo. Cardi B and or Megan Thee Stallion in song or referenced in the series.
Wait, what?
Oh, like,
will there be either one of their songs or will Wet Ass Pussy be referenced in the show?
I think
that's a bingo square.
They're going to make a joke in a chat and you about vaginal dryness coming with age.
Probably so. Are you asking if one of their songs will be in the show though?
Yeah. Or reference.
I feel like Savage will be in a montage in the show. Mm. The Megan Thee Stallion song. I feel like that's going to be like they're all walking down Fifth Avenue
in slow-mo.
Yeah, totally.
I wanted to talk about what I think could be the best line in the show, or it's definitely the best line we've seen so far. And that's are you breaking up with me while you're still inside of me?
Yeah.
Whoever wrote that line, like came up with that line, is like hell of a job. That is such a good line and a great delivery by that woman, whoever she is. Fantastic job.
That woman was great.
Fantastic job.
Ben Weber, great job acting. I think I really liked that woman for Skipper, actually. I was like, good job, Skipper. Go out and get this brand ambassador, whatever she was for Vogue. I really felt like I felt like she was a nice woman that got done pretty dirty right there.
In
all senses of the word.
And like really highlighted what we were talking about last week. Like the issue with Skipper is that like desperation, and you can see it on Miranda's face when he is telling her the story, and he's like, "I broke up with her while we were doing it," and she's just like, "You didn't have to do that." And oh my gosh, I'm seeing again how clearly insecure and needy and clingy you are, and this is not going to work.
He was in love with her.
Well, but I have two questions about that. One, we asked the Instagram poll, have you started liking someone once they become unavailable? And 64% of people said yes, 36% said never. Mm. Never. I don't. Yeah. Have you ever done, do you think, either have you done it, or do you think there's a scarcity principle there? As soon as someone becomes unavailable, you start liking them.
100%. I think that's just economics, man. That's just supply and demand.
I agree. Totally.
Yeah.
I think, you can sit and tell yourself that you don't like this person 100 different ways. And as soon as they're gone, there's one thing that changes, and it's that you can't have it anymore. And that is a very powerful thing.
Good answer.
It's funny. I don't think I've experienced it for a little while. Like, there's always like I used to experience it a little bit more, but I don't know, because I guess the older you get, the more you have the more you have exes or people you've dated, and you like see that their life has moved on or whatever. So I don't know. I definitely have experienced it, not never, but I feel like with age, that is something that, I don't know, maybe you get maybe it's easier for it to come up once you're in another relationship, and then you're comparing it to a lot of other things of being like, oh, this is great because it's like the physical intimacy is really good and we get to do this together, but that other person, I got to do this, you know, when you experience
maybe when the lockdown is on both sides, like when your options are closed and then that other person is like, when that other person is not available, but also you're not available to get them, then it becomes more of a thing. Cause if your options are still open, you're like, oh, I'm jealous of that person, but I can still go find whoever. But then once, if you're committed, if you're monogamous, like we're talking about, maybe it gets harder. Do you think the Miranda thing was a manipulative kind of jerk move to just call up Skipper right afterward? And then as soon as she was done with him, she was like, you could tell that she clearly treated him like a stud horse and didn't care.
I think she saw again, like, why she didn't want to be with him. Like, Miranda needs, it's the same thing that happens with Steve later in the episode where like they're laying on the bed and he's like, couldn't you just do this forever? Couldn't you just be in this moment forever? Yeah. And she's like, for a couple minutes, then I want to order Chinese food. And then I want to watch my British television show, and then I want to go on with my busy lawyer life. And like, Skipper reminds me of like one of those fish that like suction to the bottom of a shark, and they're just like always there. And Miranda is a shark, she needs to swim free. And
hi, my name's Barnacle Johnston.
I'm a web developer. It's like a placostomus or something like that.
I just always kind of like a suckerfish. He's a suckerfish. Suckerfish Johnson.
That's what that one guy that Charlotte was dating is looking for.
He should date Skipper.
I think the last question we asked on Instagram, which I think is really interesting, is the monogamy question. We started the conversation with this. We ended it with it. She's talking to Stanford. Carrie says monogamy is in. Stanford says it is now out, and we got a resounding in. 74% agreed with Carrie, 26% agreed with Stanford. Still, that's like that's 3/4, 1/4. Here are some thoughts. People said monogamy is unrealistic. They said up until a certain point, I agree with Stanford or Carrie, especially as you get older. Someone said difficult to say. I've been married 10 years. Someone said to each their own. Ideally it's nice to be with multiple people, but in practice not at all. Monogamy all the way. You have to be extremely emotionally mature and responsible to do poly. That's interesting. It works for a lot of couples despite what Kevin might think, is what they said.
So they're talking about non-monogamous, I guess.
Wait, who said that? Where's that? I don't see that.
It's on the dock. I'm highlighting it right here.
Oh, one of our patrons.
Yeah. You just have to find someone you truly love and aren't settling for. So it's interesting. I think the highlight.
I don't want anyone's jizz near my lady.
The highlight is to each their own. I think I agree. To each their own. Whatever works for you.
I think that. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I think that there's a culture that we live in, primarily in America, of saying, oh, you find the one and you're married forever. But, you know, sadly, like the one, even if it's not divorce, like, you know, people die or like, you know, mm-hmm. like marriages have to end. Like there's a lot of people that have really happy marriages that have to get married again because something happened. Mm-hmm. So I think that is still monogamy. I guess the people are together with one person, but they end up having a second marriage in a case like that. Mm-hmm. So, I would say that I think it's the more traditional route to have one partner at a time. And I think that that exercise, at least trying with at least one person is good. And I think that's a lot of work. And I think it's probably good for people. I'm like mostly going off this, like, this podcast I listened to where she was just like, if it doesn't work out with one person, it was that Esther Perel one I talked about. She was like, if it doesn't work out with one person, you need to try to make it work with somebody else, because like part of the human condition is trying to like learn to love another person. That's like a huge part of life that people shouldn't miss out on.
Absolutely. Can't agree with that more.
Yeah.
Carrie hesitated when someone asked if big is the one.
Or like, oh, really?
So there was a hesitation where I forgot what it was. I wish I would have written it down. Where she was like hinting at there being another person in her life that got away, like another guy. And did either of you pick up on that?
No, I'd be interested in seeing when that was.
I know I need to like go back and rewatch, but
one thing real quick that I thought was interesting is, first of all, we got Justin Theroux in this episode. This is the first coming of Justin Theroux. And Todd Barry was in there where he talks about having sex with prostitutes.
Comedian Todd Barry.
Comedian Todd Barry. But the Justin Theroux thing was interesting because it was one of the first times that I'd seen, like, you see the beginning of Big and Carrie's games where you're like, oh, this is going to go on forever. And she says, she does say something about, like, she alludes to something like, I don't know, like, is this guy the perfect guy? And then you kind of see that this really sets up, like, they're going to have all their twists and turns forever. Mm-hmm. But when she does the call to him, that's like, this guy's got his arm around me, say hello. And like, he says hello, and it's like such games. And then the phone call. Yeah. And then Big ends up meeting her, and she's standing there at 3 a.m. And then he comes back and they just have this like fight. And the fight is not about like, why are you playing games with me? The fight is about, I was at the front. No, I'm at the front. And it feels such a couple's fight. Like, that is such a picture to me of people that I know that have been married for a long time or together for a long time. And they're like, we end up like fighting about this stuff. But like, that's what you do with someone. And it's not to be like, you fight. It's like, this is part of being together, is like discussing these things. Yeah. And then she's like, I just want someone to stand here with me and not alone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is the best parts of their relationship. It made me not really think that Carrie was manipulative. It was just that, like, she was like, look, if you're going to be out with other people, I'm out with other people. So why don't you come down here and meet me? And then he's like, fine, I'm there. And I thought that actually kind of redeemed some of that for them, for me.
Yeah. The poll that we did, Carrie calling Big, 34% of the people, 181 people said justified, 353 people or 66%. Said it was petty, and a lot of DMs said both, which I thought was interesting, because I think the first time I watched it, I was like, I was definitely team petty, Tom Petty.
I'm always Tom Petty.
Won't back down. This time I was definitely more in the justified camp. Especially, she was just at that party. Some random girl walks up and kisses him on the lips, and like that other guy, like his cigar bro Max. It's like, hey, dude. Julie, good to see you. It's like, yeah, she was embarrassed. She's going to go hang out with Unibrow, Theroux, and give Big a call. Like, nobody.
Dude, how hard was Big throwing out those guy jokes? I don't know if y'all have ever been there, but when you're throwing out guy jokes, just trying to be obvious, thinking you're funny, and you're striking out. Like when he was like, well, after tonight, I don't think we'll be doing much of anything, right? And she was just like, I'm not here for it at all. I feel like I've made so many jokes like that before, and someone's like, great. Not funny. I'm like, sorry.
Oh, okay. Right. Sorry.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining the ride. I really think the takeaway we have from this episode is the Just Like That bingo. Kevin, I'm going to task you with writing down ideas that come on a notepad. And we will make Just Like That bingo boards for all of us to participate in. when we watch it again. So submit your just like that bingos, your what you think should be on there. I'd love to see them.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here we have
episode
expenses to be paid. No,
we got microphones we need to write off.
What a way to get subscribers is like, I gotta buy some shoes and send my kids to school. So buy my product.
All right.
Listen, my product.
If you want to hear the next episode in the rewatch, that'll be on Patreon. Episode 8.
That's right.
We're doing one on Patreon, one on the main feed to get through it in time for the rewatch. So that'll be there. Also, if you're on Instagram, try our Who Is My Sex in the City Boyfriend face filter.
Mm-hmm.
Find out who your boyfriend is. And we're going to do a B-team boyfriend once too.
Ooh,
and we're going to make merch. Yeah. John and I were talking about merch.
Oh, I did. I have had multiple listeners of the pod ask me for specific merch items. So we
the first, right. The first thing we're going to make is hoodies that just say, I need like, I need what could Capote Duncan needs tonight. And it's just his face and, or something like that. That's take, what we're going to start.
We've really ironed out the exact
take that on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll do great.
How great would that be if Mark Cuban was like, I'm 100% in.
What do you want?
$1 billion.
All right. Well, for all y'all, thanks so much for listening. You guys are the best. We love you
thanks.
All. Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.